We talk about summertime pop bottle, Casamigos, this, that. Yo, bro, go get some life insurance.
After basketball, finding who I am and what I'm passionate about outside of sports became like my number one mission.
I love my son, mm-hmm. right? And the way he looks up to me is like I'm hearing Cassidy talk. I don't want him to lose me.
Welcome back to another episode of He's a Guy podcast. You know, we're here kicking it with the guys. You know, I'm your host, Steph. Let's go around, you know what I mean? Mental check-ins and everything. Actually, first, before we begin, we got some juices. We got some treats, you know what I mean? B-Vibe Juicery keeping us together, you know what I mean? Everybody take a shot with me. Take a shot with me.
Okay. What are we cheers into?
Not cheers, but just get our mentals up.
I like it. Let's cheers. Health, wealth.
Well, cheers to mental, fam.
Yeah, mental, health, and wealth. You see what I'm saying? A little turmeric shot here for you guys. Cheers, B-Vibe. Cheers.
You're not playing around.
This is good. I enjoy these.
I heard Cassie swallow his.
This is nice. I enjoy these.
Spicy, though.
I enjoy these. This is actually cayenne good. Pepper in here, huh?
Oh, my God.
Black pepper. Honey, ginger, turmeric. I like that. That's
good. Tell them what bone you have to pick with them.
Oh, man. You guys are going to hear this from me every week. You already know. Subscribe button. It's right there. Little button. You guys see me on the screen? It's right there. Little red one. Pop that right there. You know what I mean? Subscribe, please. It'll help us out. You guys can comment, DM us, whatever you have to do. Let us know what it is you would like us to speak on. Also, you know, just reach out. Let us know what type of vibe you guys have from us. You know, I think we're doing pretty well from the feedback we're getting, but you know, please don't be hesitant in letting us know furthermore anything that you guys like to hear from us. Like, comment, subscribe. Today we're welcomed by a very, very, very special guest. Known this guy for a long time. Everybody in here, you know what I mean. So let's go around the room. Start with names and mental check-ins.
Let's start that way this day.
Yeah, start over.
Yeah, you just got back from vacation.
Tell us about it.
I'm going to tell you guys about it, but
I just got back. You're kind of glistening, brother. I'm not going to lie to you.
I have a couple bumps on this side. I was doing too much.
Oh, well, hey.
Some bumps. A couple bumps came up.
You don't even look tan, to be honest with you.
Damn.
Or maybe it's because of the hat.
I'm tanned a lot of the time now. So
you guys don't have this guy on Snapchat just every day. Yo, I'm tanned. Six pack every day.
Hey, why are you guys taking over my mental check?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm doing well, actually. I'm doing quite well. I just got back from Brazil. Best place I've ever been. Rio de Janeiro, best city in the world. The city's gorgeous. It's glistening. It's sunny. The people are beautiful. The food is delicious. I just had a blast. So I'm back here. My mood should be down, but I'm still on the high. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I do have a couple bumps on my face. I'm trying to figure out where they came from and why they're there.
Yo, drink some water, fam.
My skincare, I was, you know what? I got out of my routine. That's one thing I'll say. Like, I wasn't on my get up, meditate, journal. Like, I wasn't on the routine.
We're just on vacation.
I know, but it was... It felt weird to be. I just felt out of it. There's days I was getting up at 1 p.m. Like, I felt like a...
Enjoy your time, though.
You know when you're on summer... You know when you're on summer break as a teenager?
Yeah, I get back into school mode.
Yeah. Now I feel like I'm back to school. Mm. So, you know, but vibes are good. I'm blessed.
Amazing. Yeah,
Terrell. Jimmy. Breck. Whatever you guys want to call me. You know? Good week. Like I tell you guys, health as well. And that's about it. You know, I'm feeling good. You know, you guys are looking good.
Thanks, bro. Okay.
You know, so let's get them a good pod today.
Hey, come on.
All right, I'm Cassidy.
Ha!
Feeling good. Get to spend the night with you guys. Yes, that's crazy. First time I ever said it feels good to spend a night with some guys.
Not the whole night.
Yo, Chip.
I'm feeling good, man. Work's been going well. Busy. Going on vacation shortly. Nice. Like 3 weeks today.
Headed to where?
Aruba.
Ooh, you're a vacation guy. I feel like you're outside.
You're one to talk.
Make money and not go on vacation. We can't work 24/7.
Talk about it, bro.
I'm an adult now.
Lovely mental break. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Again, Steph, host, been really good this week, to be honest. Good end to the week, actually. made some money, celebrated a birthday, you know? It was good. Well, not my birthday, but celebrated. Birthday. But, you know what I mean? But it was great, to be honest. It was good. It was good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. A little bit tired. Feel like I'm doing the most, but, you know, I'm here. Like I said, like we said before, got this day marked on the calendar. Happy to be here. But I'm also looking forward to we're planning a vacation right now. So can't wait for that. Once it's booked.
That's it. The countdown.
Mood's
on.
Always good.
Make it up chat.
Yo, you know what? I have to say something.
Yeah.
It's good to have another ginger on the episode here.
I never thought of, he was a ginger.
That's the crazy part. When I go to work, they're like, hey, we got a ginger. We got a ginger. So now I feel good. You know, I feel like, oh.
You're at home.
A double minority, you know? Double.
I hear you,
bro. Black guy and ginger. Crazy mix.
Yo, why have I never considered that?
Never thought
You know
about
the crazy part is? Because you guys look at me as one of you guys.
I like don't that. You know what I'm saying?
The unity team.
But when I look to my right, I was looking at you, but I'm like, it's a ginger right there. You know? A brother, you know? But let's go. Let's get it going.
So today's topic is a very important one. It's about, you know, the importance of life and, you know, making sure that you take care of that in many ways, obviously mentally, physically, but also getting your particulars together in terms of, you know, life. So, Cassie, please let us know. What does your work entail and how important, you know what I mean? Let's break all this down.
All right. Well, I guess we could start with my work. I'm a life insurance consultant. I've been doing it for like 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the last 3 years has been really like the uptick of my career. First 2 years grinding. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't make a dollar.
Is it that tough? Like, is that strenuous?
It's like being a real estate agent. Like, you look at Manulife as a company, for example, it's like 10,000 people who are licensed to sell, mm-hmm. like 10% make a living. Bam. So it's a very saturated market.
Right.
I'm very fortunate that I've had a mentor throughout this journey, which I met about 3 years ago now. So I've been working with him for the last 3 years. If it wasn't for him, I would not be in the business though. So I got fortunate in that event.
Now, we know you a little bit from just the athletic life, you know, growing up with you, especially going back dating to high school, right? Basketball, you know, that's a big part of most of our lives here, you know what I'm saying? Thinking that we're all going to go pro. You actually also, like, had that opportunity and everything was on the doorstep for you. So tell us, like, how basketball was one of those things for you and then how we get to this.
We're going to start with you.
Ah, oh, this guy.
Everyone picks on me, bro.
I started playing hockey. Kid in Canada. My dad's like, you're playing hockey. I hated it. I hated every second of it. I just had a basketball net out front in the house. I shoot for fun all the time. And I started playing. Didn't even make my like elementary school team. Mm-hmm. All my boys are Filipino. Mm-hmm. Remember the team C-Cat?
Yeah.
Yo, they're like grade six. They're grown men. Like, they don't get any bigger. So my friends were that good and that big as they are today. So didn't make the team. Obviously frustrated. Kept playing. And I kind of fell in love with the aspect of like how it got my mind away from more of my family situation.
Yeah.
Basketball, you can play anywhere. Hockey, I couldn't do that. So I think that's the draw I had towards basketball. Grade eight, I started growing a lot, like really quickly. And then I started getting relatively pretty good. Played for St. David's at the time. Shout out Big Ross. going into high school, I actually called the high school, asked for the coaches, the senior coach's phone number. Like, why the hell do you want to talk to that guy? And I'm like, because I'm not playing junior. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Right up.
So I called him. I said, hey, like, you have no idea who I am. I'm coming to your school next year. I'd love to play senior basketball. He goes, are you crazy? Like, it's not happening. He said, come to the tryout and you'll see. Fast forward, go to the tryout. Our high school team was all football players. Four went to the CFL. Our starting lineup was four CFL players and me.
That's crazy.
My first memory of high school basketball was playing Campion. I check in the court. I had a big red afro. Check in. I'm guarding this guy. First of all, Tashawn looked like this. In grade
he looked like this in grade seven.
Yeah, no. I always say this.
It's funny.
He was born out the womb. Yeah, like, I'm 100% sure.
I swear to God, first of my son, I was like, there's no way. This guy's on steroids, one. Bro. Two, A man said he was born like that. So I just went with
I met him that way. I swear to God.
So I'm not wrong to think
nah,
that.
Nah, brother. No, we all no, met no, him no, like that. This.
Are you guys serious?
Scott,
get
I
in the gym, dog.
No, I remember. Man no. was on Facebook
brother,
looking like Trey Songz.
You never touched the gym. You never touched the gym.
You're a natural freak. So I check in the court. This guy comes on the court. He laid me out the first play of my high school career. Laid me out in the court. God damn, I can't guard this guy. Ruined my first game. You ruined it. And now here we are. It's crazy because now if we play it, now if we play today,
so you're ready for
it. I'm the big man.
So, you know what's so funny? All the guys that got really good, I felt like I bullied them at one point. Like Nas, Juwan, Dylan Brooks, like everybody who got ended up being really good, body. But then you guys end up getting big on me. It's like I had an impact. Like that.
You did.
Mads are coming here now.
Yeah. You're a part of that.
Mads are going to set the record straight, bro. What did you do? Because Dylan Brooks is in the NBA because I dunked on him.
Oh.
That's why.
It's a hot take.
You know what's crazy? I want to know if he remembers that. I want to know. Well, I don't know if I'll know, but.
Man was
we were here, right?
Listen. Shout out Dylan Brooks. Fruity got him, though.
Did he?
Because
it was. Oh, you remember it too?
I was there.
Oh, okay.
It was so awkward. Like, we're playing four, and their four was stacked.
Yeah.
Right? And I think they were beating us, too. And then Jamar, like, threw this weird alley off the backboard, and, like, Dylan jumped, and then Tashaun, like, Sean was, like, a freak athlete.
Yeah.
He was really awkward. Couldn't shoot, couldn't do anything. Couldn't do much, but he's going to bully you.
Right.
Just jumped over Dylan, and boom! Everybody was like, did that just happen?
Yeah, nobody expected
it. No, like you, that's what I'm saying. You don't expect it. Like, he didn't expect to get laid out in the first game. Now he's mad. Look how big he got. He's ready for this.
I actually think my collarbone was broken. Out of my story. Oh, I swear to God.
Everybody has an injury story of me, too. Freck, one time, listen to me go.
Don't start.
Do you have rocks in your hand? Yeah, I said,
bro.
You guys are fisticuffs?
No. Oh. Staff, we're playing once.
Okay.
Right? He fouled me. It felt like I got hit in the side of my ear with rocks. And I'm like, what's in your hand? I had to know. I felt like my ear was bleeding. You know when your eardrum rings and it's like,
yeah.
I was so mad at him. And then he's looking at me like, bro, man up.
Yeah, like, grow up.
He's like, what? Are there rocks in your hand? You know what I'm saying? So I could only imagine how Cass felt, how all these other guys felt. That's why everybody's going to go at him.
Oh, my bad. Dylan, you're in the league because of your hard work. Talking foolishness.
But yeah, no, Cass, continue, please.
Yeah, so from high school, I actually left grade 11. I went to La Lemire in Indiana. So prep school.
Oh, yeah.
You left?
Yeah. I'll get to the story. I left. I had a going away party. I was lit. I'm like, yo, I'm going to one of the best schools in the country. I'm excited.
Yeah,
La Lemire. So I get there. Give me your phone. They take your phone. Suit. You got to go to church in the morning. Text my mom. I said, yo, I'm coming home. So I literally stayed for a week. Told my coach, I said, I'm sorry that this happened, but like,
I get
coach, someone died. Got to go home. So I packed whatever I could fit in a backpack, left bare things at my home. I don't give a shit. I'm out of here.
Wow.
Put everything in a backpack, hopped in a flight. As soon as I got home, I texted him, I'm not coming back. But to my discredit, I was too immature to like,
of course,
take it on the chin at the moment because I was scared. It was the first time away from home. But yeah, I got home. I've never been more excited. And then from there, I'd like every day in class, letter from all these schools. Took a trip to UCLA when I played EYBL. We had a circuit that we played. Took a trip out to UCLA. Shabazz Muhammad was like my host.
So
I verbally committed that day. Bro, I go to the practice. This guy took me to a party. When I tell you I haven't seen this amount of fun in my life,
yeah,
like 17 years old, like it's just heaven. So I'm like, I'm coming. That year they lose. Everyone gets fired. First round of the tournament. Whole team's fired. No more scholarship. So then I ended up committing to Canisius in Buffalo. Terrible decision.
What made you choose, though?
To go to Canisius?
Yeah.
So my mom was pretty sick at the time.
Yeah.
And my dad was taking care of her. So it was either between there or University of Houston. I wanted to remain close enough. I wanted to come home on a weekend. I could see them. So that's kind of why I stayed. If I could rewind time, I would have went somewhere further away.
Mm-hmm.
But family weighed pretty heavy on that.
For sure.
So, yeah.
I don't know with that at all, bro.
Why didn't you like Canisius? Bad decision.
So my recruiting coach, Mike Miniga, shout out, one of the best recruiting coaches I've ever had. You remember Miniga?
That was our guy. Yeah,
yeah, Miniga's, he's the guy.
Bounce affiliate, low key.
Yeah, Bounce affiliate. So I was at Bounce and he's like, man, like this is a good opportunity for you. You're going to get a lot of minutes here. And when your recruiting coach brings you in, they're the ones pushing for you to get on the court.
Yeah.
That year I'm going in, he got a job at Oregon. He brought Dylan Brooks to Oregon. So I was like, man, if I was 1 year younger, like maybe things could be different. Because I honestly compared myself. Me and him were pretty on par with everything in our game. Same size, same skill set. Like, man, like things could have been different.
Yeah.
But then I went there. I was like, I'm going to see it through. My dad's like, you got to go like free school, like go live your dream. I just hated it. Like my coach and me, like I got in a fist fight with my assistant coach on the bus in New York City.
Wow.
Like just disrespected me, like calling me out, like saying like I'm sorry. Like we left Cassie on the side of the road in New York. He'd get beat up. I'm like, man, if you're so tough, like let's go. Grant, like, and I literally, yeah, we like went at it on the bus.
That's crazy.
He probably shouldn't have done that, but like, it's a pretty angry kid. I have my reasons, and I think I've grown a lot through that. But like, pushed my buttons so bad. And then my final straw was our starting four. He was a senior. It was in my second year, so he got hurt. I got put into the rotation like heavy. I was killing it. Like 18, my first game of playing real minutes. Guy from ESPN who like covered our games DM me on Twitter. He goes, what's going on? Like, why haven't you been playing? Like, you're a really good player. I'm like, man, like, you got to take that up with the coaching staff. Like, my recruiting coach is gone. He's like, you got to leave. Like, you got to get out of there. Mm-hmm. Fast forward that year, my dad passed. And my mom, I knew she didn't really have anyone anymore. So I was like, man, like, I got to consider going back home. And then I ended up going to Brock. Best decision ever.
Yeah, you did really well at Brock. You were killing there too.
Yeah, it set me up to go play pro. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone wants to like downplay the CIS, like, oh, if you don't go D1, it's nothing. And we all heard that as kids, like, you got to go D1.
Of course.
At Brock, we played Vanderbilt, who had a first round draft pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I had 30 against them. Coach is like, what are you doing? Like, come to our school. I'm like, I'm the senior. I'm done basketball. I'm thinking like I'm going pro for sure. Like, I'm done. But everyone downplays Canadian basketball. Like, if you go to a top 10 school in the country, you're arguably better than like every mid-major school in the U.S. The only difference really is size at every position.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I would argue to say the understanding of the game, especially for the European game, you learn way more in the Canadian system than the American system.
Yeah, for sure.
So it really set me up to play that next level. I knew I wasn't going to the NBA. Off the table for sure. But overseas, like every team I played at, I've had an American sent home because they don't understand basketball.
It's a different game.
Talent-wise, you put them in an open run, these guys look like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Athletic and hoop. You draw an X as an O play, it's not happening. Yeah.
I have a question quick. You said your dad was taking care of your mom?
Yeah.
Because she was sick?
So she got into an accident. She was hit by a car. Yeah. So she wasn't sick. She just had like degenerative disease, but her back, like she started developing like a lot of walking problems.
Yeah.
So she required like a walker, and then it started getting worse, and she started to like have like a PSW come by. So just like having that support from my dad for her was massive.
Right.
When he passed, I knew she didn't have that anymore, and I felt guilty about it because my sister's away at school. I'm in another country. I just felt terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was tough for me. Losing my dad wasn't that tough. Like, that sounds terrible to say. I'm very like strong person. I went through a lot growing up that kind of set me to be very independent.
Yeah.
But then seeing my mom on her own really like struck home for me. So that was a big factor to come back home. So she moved to Niagara with me when I was at Brock.
Oh, wow.
So she was living down the street, so I would go see her. So that was important for me.
For sure. I remember being younger and like, thinking, like, obviously, like, the basketball community knows. We all talk. We all know, like, stuff that's going on. And, like, I was, like, I remember hearing of the passing of your father, and I was, like, if I had been in your situation, I don't think I could have kept playing ball and doing what you do. So I commend you for even just continuing your journey and
getting
to where you are today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was weird. Like, he passed. I went home, so I was still Canisius. Our team went to New York. They're like, take as much time as you need. And back to when I was a kid, basketball was like my escape.
Yeah.
I went to the funeral. I was back for the next game. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, this is the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
That's going to like save me right now. Like, I was lost. And I had some good teammates, Canadians like Jamal Reynolds and Cassius Robertson. Like, those are my guys. They were the first two people to hug me when he passed. I was walking with them. So I had to get back. It was like instantaneous.
It's home.
That's all it was. Yeah, and it was always like that for me.
Yeah. Damn. Okay, so how does that switch go now from basketball, pro life, to now life insurance, if you don't mind?
Yeah, it's a really full circle thing.
Right.
Right before I went for my first pro season, I was living with my mom. So I was training in Niagara. And my mom had started to develop an addiction problem. I mean, both my parents had an addiction problem while I was growing up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, her being like bedridden every day, she would say to me, like, I really don't even want to be here. Like, I'm just here because you and your sister. I'm like, yeah, like, you just think like you're nothing. You're not going to do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 2 weeks before I saw my first contract. Came home from the gym. I usually would like come home, be like, yell downstairs. Or I'm like, yo, do you want food? Yelling down. I don't hear nothing. So I go down there and she had walking issues. So I thought she had a fall. So I went in the room. She's on the floor. I'm like, I went to roll her over. Bro, when I tell you, like, high as a kite, like her pupils were huge. I'm like, oh, like she did what she was saying she was going to do. So she overdosed on purpose, which was like, honestly crazy. And at the moment, like, you're not even thinking you're gonna, like, she was gonna die. Immediately call ambulance, they come. So it was weird. So she got to the hospital and I'm freaking out, like, I don't know, I'm bringing like all these pill bottles that were on like the side table, like, to the doctor. She goes, go home, calls me like 2 hours later. He's like, your mom's gonna be fine. I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, yo, this girl must have been partying hard, like, if she's gonna be fine. So I was supposed to fly to BC to sign my contract, me and my agent. I'm like, I'm not going to BC, like, if she's not fine.
Yeah.
He goes, you go. He goes, by the time you're home, she'll be back home. I'm like, you sure? 100%. I'm like, okay. So I fly to BC. By the second I land, my phone gets connection. I got like 100 missed calls. I'm like, there's no way this is happening right now. Call him back. It's my aunt. She's like, you know your mom's wishes. Like, she's on life support. Like, they're pretty much just going to make her comfortable. And I'm losing it. I'm like, this guy literally told me to my face, like, she's going to be fine. So I hop on her next flight, come back home. She had passed in that time. So when I said my dad, when he passed, I was like, okay, because I still had like a parent there. When I lost my mom, bro, I couldn't even speak at the funeral. Like, I was a mess.
Yeah.
One, losing your parent, but also like taking on the weight of the world. Like, I had no home now because my mom was renting a house.
Mm-hmm.
I had a younger sister. I don't even have a job yet. Like, I'm about to go overseas. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. So now I'm like feeling like I got to become a parent. My sister's 19. She's like in like second year of school. We have no money. We got no parents. Who the hell do I ask questions to now? Yeah, that was the toughest moment of my life, 100%. And I think it could have taken me one of two ways. If I didn't have basketball, I probably would have went down a super dark path.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely changed the way I look at a lot of things. So...
Yeah. Bro, I super appreciate you even sharing that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't think you would have got, like, you're making me feel like I want to tear up right now just hearing
Holy
you.
Shit,
you
trust me.
Because I don't know. I would never want to feel like how you felt losing both parents, you know, and then leaving and then hearing. Like, oh, like, as soon as you checked your phone, you kind of, like, you know, went down that path. You're like, this can't be happening. Yeah. I'm getting goosebumps saying this right now. Like, I just,
yeah. I don't know. I think talking about anything is therapy in itself, right? Yeah. If you can talk about your problems, someone that's going to listen to this is going through something or has lost someone and didn't know how to deal with it. I've talked about this on a podcast before, so I am open about sharing that kind of stuff. I just find, like, people don't talk about issues and they're scared to be like, people are going to judge me or think I'm weak. Like, man, I felt weak in that moment. I felt like the world was ending. But for me, it was either sink or float. Like, you got to do something. Fight or flight kicks in, and I had a younger sister. I'm like, I can't fail her.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a moment that I was terrified, no direction of what I was going to do. I was like, let's go play basketball, see what happens. Like, she's at school, come home when I'm done and see what happens.
Bro, it's so crazy because, like, I've known you for a good part of my life, and I did not know anything about this story.
Literally.
Yeah.
And, like, you're... Without knowing you super well, like, I know you, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
But without knowing you super well, it's like, you're a light in this world. And it's so crazy to think, like, you've been through all that. Because when I see you, I just see a guy that lifts everybody up.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I've ever come across you without smiling. Like, you have a smile on your face.
You got a smile, time. Man.
No, I know, but it's like, you know, like, for somebody to have that type of tumultuous past with them, it's like, you can't even blame them sometimes for having, like, that rain cloud over their head, you know what I mean? So, it's, again, I don't want that to be the message to anybody that's okay to be that way all the time, but it's like, we could understand and have some empathy for you, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want you to overshadow the idea of it being really, really strong of you to be that, you know what I mean? To always have that
feeling
for somebody.
I think I encourage people, though. I'm like, man, if you, like, I have friends who, like, I don't know what's going on in your life because you don't want to share it.
Yeah.
Like, just talk to me. Like, if you just want to be boys and, like, go grab a drink and just, like, lay it on me. Like, I've been through a lot. Yeah. I got countless stories of, like, watching my dad go to jail.
Yeah.
Like, police beating my dad and my mom up in front of me, like, as a kid. Like, there's a lot of things that I witnessed, but I wouldn't change that for the world because it taught me a lot of things that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I could have went down, like, my dad was Hell's Angels. I could have went down that path. But because I had basketball, which everything in my life kind of circles back to, I didn't want to do that. And, like, relationship-wise, like, I don't want the relationship that my parents had, but I'm grateful because they were great parents to me and my sister.
Yeah.
Everything we ever needed, we had. But it teaches you lessons. And yeah, I just encourage people, like, talk to your friends. Like, someone's got something that's similar going on. Are you going to be sad your whole life? Like, when my dad passed, my mom was, granted, fair, but she was sad forever. I'm like, man, think about yesterday at his funeral. Everyone was sad. But tomorrow, everyone went back to work. Their life is going on. I'm like, you need to move on at some point. You're never going to forget the memories. There's a lot of good memories there. But life keeps moving. We're all going to pass at some point. I keep making memories, which is why I try to be a light in the room. There's too much dark stuff going on in the world. You see it, you turn on the news every second. Someone's dying here. A bomb's going off here. Like, sucks. Man, we got to live our life too, right?
Appreciate that, bro. So, honestly. Now, getting into life insurance, how does that work out now?
Yeah, it's
We never got there. I just realized. I was like, wow.
It's funny. So I never in a million years would have thought I'd be doing what I do now. Went to school, kinesiology degree. Being an athlete, that was my thing.
Of course.
When I was overseas, I was like, man, what am I going to do when I go home? Like, mm-hmm. I got to find a job. I don't want to work at Walmart or just go back to school. Because, Ken, you got to specialize in something. I'm like, I don't want to go back to school. I've been out for 4 years. And I was making decent money. Like, when you're making tax-free money overseas and everything's paid for, like, everything you make, you save. So it was, like, pretty cool. So I'm like, I'm not going back to school. And my cousins, Jeff Cook, he was an electrician, got severely shocked, like messed him up real good. He's like, I'm never going back to electrician. Fast forward, he started making some good money. I'm like, yo, you're living a good life these days. What the hell are you doing? He's a financial advisor to this day. He's like sending me all of the textbooks, like all the PDFs. He goes, you have a lot of free time overseas. He goes, you study this. He goes, if I can sell, and like he manages well. So he's not on the insurance side as much, but he's like, if I can do this, there's no reason why you can't do this. He goes, look at you. You walk in the room, everyone wants to talk to you. He goes, I can do this. You can do it for sure. So I started studying overseas, man. You're at the gym for 2 hours a day. I'm either that or you're playing PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'll try it, I guess. Like, I don't know a damn thing. So I'm studying. COVID hit, came home. I'm like, basketball's done. Like, we don't know when we're going back. So I was like, yo, you want to get me a job interview? So I did my licensing exams, all that. Got a job at Canada Life. I actually really liked it. It was fun. I really liked the insurance side. I hated managing wealth, especially during COVID. Everyone's funds were in the garbage
because
all investments were down and I'm getting screamed at on the phone every day. I'm like, I don't control the market.
Yeah.
I'm just the guy you got to talk to.
Yeah.
So I'm putting out fires every day. I'm like, I absolutely hate this job. 2 years goes by there and I'm like the leading sales guy for Canada Life and the GTA. Okay. So my director, he goes, they try to push you out to a private firm. So they kind of like cultivate you. And then when you're good enough, they push you out. I say, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm going to go do tech sales or something where I can be charismatic. And then my buddy Dustin, he's a basketball trainer. He runs Lyft Basketball in Burlington.
Yes, sir.
He connected me with my mentor. So his name is Brian Laundry. I honestly owe this guy more than I could ever say. Randomly messaged me on LinkedIn. He goes, we got to go for a beer. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
So I show up. First thing, I walk in this bar, just like this big jack bald guy roasting me. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, I'm wearing a suit. Like, I'm just thinking I'm meeting like a super serious guy. He's in ripped jeans. I'm like, what the hell? Where am I? He goes, so I ripped him back. I'm like, that's a lot of talk coming from a short, bald guy. And he loved it.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I've been looking for someone to mentor, but if we can't banter, like, I don't want that. He's like, he does very well for himself. He's like, I just want to give back now because I had a mentor myself, and that's the way you got to do it. I'm like, sign me up. Like, what I got to do? I'll give you a year of my time. If I still hate this in a year, I'm done. He goes, you're not going to hate it in a year. You met Brian.
Yeah.
The tournament we played. So I spent the first year with him. I actually kind of like this, and I'm learning. Like, he works with the richest Canadians, like the ultra, ultra high net worth. So every day is like a new case where I'm sitting there. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand this yet. And he's like, he would let me sit in on meetings. Like, he would introduce me. He's like, hey, this is like my junior. He's just going to sit here and listen. If you guys don't mind, let him stay. So I'm saying, I'm learning all these like tax rules, how to transfer wealth, how to like move numbers around. I'm like, what the hell is this guy teaching them? And I'm sitting, I'm lost. So we get off the call, and then I would ask him a million questions. But for me, like being like a sponge, I'm like just trying to absorb everything. Fast forward to today. So I just got back from Seattle on Wednesday. It's my second elite conference. Like, you have to qualify. So you have to do like a certain amount of revenue. It's like a big learning session. So it's definitely like my career was like this. And then once meeting him, it's definitely gone like really quickly up. So I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. So if I can grasp all this, you're dealing with the higher net worth is now as well, if you can speak on that, I guess.
Yeah, I can speak on that. So he's ultra high net worth, like crazy money. I would say I'm anywhere from the family market space up to like business owner. Like, if your business is bringing in like $500,000 or less a year, I would consider that
pretty good change.
Pretty amount, pretty healthy living if you're making $500,000 a year. Some people I've dealt with, a guy who's made like 1.5, 2 million a year. But it's such a, it can be such a niche market, and that's where I'm heading towards. Like, I'm going to be where he's at some point, but to sit here at 30 years old and say, I won't talk to a guy who's our age and deal with like simple life insurance stuff, it'd be stupid to do that.
Yeah.
Cause at some point, everyone who's our age is going to eventually amass a certain amount of wealth. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be a different conversation, but young people having insurance is super important. And I got into the business not only because of my cousin, but my parents passed. They had no life insurance. They didn't have it. My parents had none. So when I said, like, I had nothing. My mom was renting a home, like, I had nothing. So if I can give back to someone in a simple conversation, like, you got kids. But I said, if you died, you and your girl, knock on wood, passed away tomorrow, you're going to leave your kids with all this debt. How does that feel for you? Or if you just went, can your girl keep this house afloat? You guys got to move houses. Do they got to go to a different school? That's like an emotional thing that's going to pull on someone's heart. Like, well, no, probably not, because my husband's a sole income earner. Well, that's a reason that you should probably have insurance. Do you own a house? Okay, well, now you have a debt outstanding. If you go down, can we pay for that debt anymore, right? It sucks talking about dying. Like, I dealt with my first actual death claim this year. Girl called me crying, but I showed up with a check for $1 million. Doesn't take away the pain, but $1 million definitely makes things a little bit easier, right? You don't got to stress. It lifts
the financial burden.
Yeah. This is a financial burden that if I don't show up with that check, now we're in a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have my own insurance. I mean, I own a house. So I have life insurance. I have critical illness. Everyone our age should have critical illness. If you don't have kids, even more so, because you're the only person that you care about. Your income, you can't make your income, you're screwed.
So I was going to talk about that, because me personally, I have life insurance, and I'm a barber, so I gotta insure these things, or playing basketball or doing anything outside of work. If I get injured, there's nothing that helps me pay, that gets anything paid for it.
Yeah.
I don't have a union. That's what I meant to say. I don't have a union that can back any of those things up. So I gotta make sure that I have the critical illness or disability insurance, right? So that and life insurance, I was approached by other barbers to tell me this, right? Because a guy, he ended up tearing his Achilles. You can't be on that for that many years. So it's like, he couldn't work. So he got it later on after that. But those first 3-4 months that he was going through things. Things still got to get paid for, right? And that's not even going as far to say as somebody dying. If someone was dying, you got to take care of funeral costs. You got to take care of casket costs. You got to take care of all of these things that come into taking on their bills or their debt, next of kin type of situations. So all of these things that came to light when getting in these discussions, I was like, damn, okay, well, I'm 33 now, so it's like, or about to be. So it's like, damn, what do I do or what I have to do? It's like, brother, look into life insurance. Look into these things and take it a little bit more serious. So I want to kind of open it up to the room now. Who in here has life insurance or disability insurance? And two of us in here I know have children. So
yeah. I'll speak on it. I don't have life insurance. Listening to Cass and all you guys speak now, I would love for Cassie to show up to my house with that check. So I'm going to tell you my address in a little bit. You know what I mean? But no, on a serious note, I'm going to start considering it. Right?
Start considering.
Relax.
It's the wrong way. It didn't sound like a commitment. It's like, I'm going to think about it.
Definitely the wrong think word about it. But I definitely need you to consider a little harder. All right.
It's not like I ain't going to do shit. Like, yeah, we'll get home, we'll have a conversation about it, but that'll be it.
Nah. I have Cass's number. I'm going to hit him up. Bro. And I'm going to look into it.
Yeah.
Better?
Literally.
I'll give you an example.
All right, like, give me an example and talk to me.
I pay between my life insurance critical illness. I have a term 20 life insurance. You don't need anything other than term right now.
Yes.
Like, that's all you need. Simple, cheap, to cover a short period problem. If you were to go in these, like, say, next 30 years, that's your income earning time, and you're not supposed to die. It's covering a tragedy, right? It's cheap. Between the two, I have $1 million insurance, and I have $200,000 in critical illness. That's going to be like $80 a month.
All right, I'm gonna send you some information.
Like, it's really inexpensive because we're so young. The older you get, like when we start talking about like whole life insurance and stuff, and people over, I have a guy who pays $500,000 a year into it. But this is different. There's a different strategy. This is tax planning and leveraging it back out.
That's what I have. So I have up till literally, retiring 65, the next 30 years, right?
Yeah.
And then I have rollover, which is I could add on if I were to have kids, marriage, whatever else after, I could add in. So I have a situation where now, after that time, I can now start to take money out.
So you have a whole life policy.
Yes, yes. And I pay for that $200 a month. And that's the lowest that you can start paying for. But it's one of those things where it's like, I can afford it. Why not set myself up, right?
Do you know how much coverage you have?
We can talk about it.
Review your stuff. I'm curious to see what you have.
Okay, I'll send you some info.
Okay, cool. Over
it. All right. But yes, it's with Equitable.
Okay, Equitable is a great company.
So yeah, so I have through them, and then disability. Another thing I have pretty high as well. I get up to, if I were to get in, like say a basketball yesterday when we played, if I were to something simple as break my hand, right? I'm not dying. I'm not something, but for that time that I'm healing, I get up to $4,500.
Yeah.
Right, per month. You see what I'm saying? So it takes care of me and my bills, whatever I need to do for that month, and carry on until I'm healed,
back to work. Yeah.
So it's important, bro, especially, and I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. It's one of those things where you have to look at it and just be like, yo.
Now I'm hearing you guys talk. So when I think about life insurance or insurance in general, we always hear the bad stories. Yo, it took forever to forgive my money, or they didn't pay me out. So why would we want to do that if we're going to have to go through that?
Insurance, it's a dirty word. I don't even say the word insurance in a meeting. I don't even say it.
There we go.
Because there's a negative connotation to it, right? Example, Manulife, for example. This girl called me literally like 8 days later. She had $1 million in her bank account. There's situations like if you were committing a crime or something, they're not going to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you commit suicide in the first 2 years, they're not going to pay you. But like Equitable, Canada Life, Sun Life, like these companies, like there's a massive amount of money within this company that they, like last year, I think Manulife paid out like $1 billion.
Well,
like there was, I think, 17 cases that they didn't pay out last year for circumstantial things.
Okay.
Right. Like these are reputable companies that are trading on the TSX. Like they're mega companies. Manulife's one of the biggest companies in the country. Okay. So if that's your concern is, oh, I'm not going to get, my kids aren't going to get the money, that should be your last concern. 100%.
Just honestly, literally, if you can, well, not even if you can, you should just have a conversation. It's this simple starting point. They could, a lot of them talk fast to start, but once you start to, you know, key in on what they're saying, research, do your own research as well. But Yes. Literally, you have to take the look. You have to. It's not a debate. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you're protecting yourself and your own. You know what I mean? It's not a scam type of situation, right? You can't go into it looking like that.
And you see that side of it. Like, there's certain guys who are really pushing, oh, like, buy this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even talk about buying. I'm like, what's your situation right now?
That's what I was going to touch on. I've always wanted to have life insurance, especially having my kids and just not wanting them to, just wanting them to be taken care of if anything was to ever happen. But I've had conversations or sat down with people and it was always a sell thing. Like, oh yeah, you know, if you put in this amount of money, when they're 18, they have this amount of money to invest in a business and do all these things. And it's just all that, like, all that they're trying to sell me. I don't feel like I'm necessarily protected. I feel like you're banking off of me. You're making your money. 100%. You're walking away. And then if if something was to happen to me, then I don't even feel secure in the moment that I know that my family's going to get this.
This business, sorry to cut you off, this business is fast money. You can make a ton of money by scamming people. Or not scamming, they're still selling you insurance, but they're selling you the wrong product.
Yeah, yeah.
Something you don't need a whole life policy if you're 30 years old and you, $200 a month is a lot of money to you and you're going to be concerned about it. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
I've told a person straight to their face, I'm like, I would make 15 grand off you for selling you this policy, which you don't need at all, and which the other guy was trying to sell her. And then I said, listen, this is what you need. I'm going to make like a grand, but I could still sell you this and my pockets would be good, and you were okay with it, but you came to me for a second opinion. And she ended up coming to me and I did though. I'm like, I'm not really making any money on you here, but I'm giving you an honest answer where I could lie to you like he's doing, but I don't feel comfortable with doing that. It's one of those businesses, we're commission-based. You can make a ton of money in this business, but people get, then that's why there's that negative connotation to it where you feel like you're getting scammed. Mm. Well, they're not doing the right job. I'm not going to name the company because I'm in this industry, but there is a company right now that is getting completely washed on every single like policy being placed because there were so many people scamming people or putting the wrong stuff in force that it's negative. Like, you can't be doing that stuff. And that's the problem with our business. And I always start off with saying, listen, I know you have the mindset that insurance is a dirty word. That's why we're not going to talk about insurance. I want to know what happens if you go down tomorrow, but I don't give you a check. Are things straight? If so, cool. You don't necessarily need it, but it could be an idea that you should consider.
Yeah, insurance is crazy because I remember like when I was younger, we had like a fire at our house. And this is the next reason I'm kind of like very weary of doing it. Yeah, we had a fire at our house. Like, thankfully, like, it never really got into our apartment. We just had like a bunch of soot and like water damage and all this other stuff. And when it came down to like staying in the hotel, after paying, my mom's paying this policy, they're like, oh, you can't stay at that hotel. Oh, we're giving you like $10 for like lunch allowance and whatever and dinner allowance and all this stuff. And like, even when it came down to like some of the stuff being ruined, they're like very like devaluing it. Like, oh yeah, that's a TV from Facebook Market. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's its value. So watching my mom go through that whole situation as well, always like put a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, with insurance, I'm very weary with it. Like, even now,
yeah,
I've had situations like with my cars and I'm like, whatever. So I have that same connotation going into life insurance. But I'm going to talk to you off camera after, but I do want to do it. But it's still in the back of my mind where I'm like, ugh, I don't know.
You got to look at it because that's like PNC, property and casualty insurance, or car insurance. They're nickel and diamond. Yeah, like, oh, but the dent's not that bad. You can get it cheap, fix your cheap. Insurance for like your life. You die or you don't die.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's black and white. If you're dead, money's going here. Yeah. Who's your beneficiary?
But I say that to say this, like, I know somebody that's watching this probably gaps all of that into the same loop.
Right? For sure.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Where they don't know the difference.
It's the same word, insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, insurance. They don't want to pay you.
No. That's what you're 100%.
They try not to take my money. They take the money out every month. But when it comes to me, they're not giving it back.
And then sales on top of that, when someone's trying to sell you something, when you hear a salesman, you're like, oh, this guy's trying to rob me.
Yeah.
For me, honestly, for me, that's not even the problem. Because, like, my grandparents have done a really good job of, like, talking about money with me in terms of, like, you need this, you need that. Insurance has been one of those things. why I don't have it right now is just strict laziness. I signed up for it halfway last year.
There's something that would be interesting to you. I have it. It's called Manulife Vitality. So it's on my insurance policy. You like to travel. My insurance policy for my life insurance is like $600 a year. Okay. You work out. I wear an Apple Watch every day. If you go to the gym, and whenever you go, you hit at the gym and it tracks it, you get these points. Okay. End of the year, if you're platinum, which you will literally hit for just going to the gym, you get $1,000 towards hotels on Expedia. That covers more than my cost of the insurance. And I'm going to travel regardless.
Yeah.
So I literally just, I toss on everyone who's young. I'm like, you have an Apple Watch, you go to the gym, they're like, yes. I'm like, you need this. Just put it on.
I'm going to talk to you off camera.
Dog, there's benefits, bro.
Because no, because honestly, the only reason I signed up, I met this lady at a conference. She was an insurance rep on the side. She tried to sign me up.
On the side.
Yeah, it was on the side.
That's number one. That's where the scam comes in.
It was on the side. And we signed up. We got through it, but we never ended up finalizing the whole agreement. But I'm going to talk to you off camera and get something going, because like, just knowing how inexpensive this is, plus the benefits it has, and even the work that I do, if I get injured, like I'm playing, why am I playing basketball?
Because fun, man. I play every Wednesday.
It hurts.
It does hurt.
And even now I'm scared out there. I'm playing hard sometimes. I'm like, what if something happens?
Yeah.
But if something were to happen, I can't work.
Yeah.
And if I can't work, I can't make money. There's nothing, there's nobody that could step in and do my job for me. It's not, I'm not making salary. So it's like, is it called disability?
So yeah,
there's many.
The one that you have.
Disability and life insurance. I have both.
Yeah.
But you can couple them too. So like there's many ways to go about it, is what I'm saying to you.
But disability would be, and life insurance, I think are two important things for me.
Yeah, the critical illness. So critical illness, there's like two branches of insurance. So there's like the life insurance side, which under that is term and whole life. Predominantly what I like to work in, because that's where the business owners have a lot of stuff. Critical illness. So there's like the living benefit side of this umbrella. So there's critical illness, massively important, I think, especially for someone like you. If you got cancer or had a heart attack, couldn't work for 6 months, you can't bring in money. Critical illness pays you a lump sum. Then there's disability benefits, which you have.
Yeah.
And then there's something called living benefits or living care, which is actually coupled in with some critical illness products. But that covers if you can't like wipe your ass or change your clothes or eat, they'll pay to have like a nurse come take care of you. That one is kind of on the back shelf. A lot of companies kind of remove that, but critical illness and disability tend to be the top two on that side. Disability, it's something where you got to weigh out for you in a situation like you need your hands.
Yeah.
He should have it. Can be rather expensive. Like, I don't know what you pay, but this.
$140 a month, essentially.
Yeah. So,
but again, these are things that I look at.
You see it as value.
I do. It's investing in myself, one. 100%. And then two is being like, what other expenses do I really have where I say no to this, but yes to something else? It's really.
Yeah. Choosing your yeses. Like, I just had a meeting today with an older couple dealing with their insurance, and then two kids came home with like 22, 23. Their mom's like, well, I want to get them insurance, but they're going to pay for it. And I ran the numbers. It was like $30 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, you know, I'm like, you have a Starbucks cup in your hand. She goes, I go every day. Like, you don't go twice a week, you can afford it. Go to Tim Hortons. It's really that simple. You're choosing where you're going to spend your money. You're going to go to spend $10 at Starbucks every day, three times a month. And there's your insurance. Boom.
So I say that. When we go out or we go on a vacation or we go... All of those things you start to say yes to, it's like, okay, well, the life insurance that you pay for, that's not $200, maybe it's like you said, $80 or whatever the case is. You're just taking money from another place that you are frivolously spending in, which is, again, not the worst when you're looking at investing in yourself.
What company do you work for?
What company do I work for? I don't.
You're hot.
Yeah, yeah, he's hot on this. You know what I'm saying?
The way that my...
This is on the side.
A homie that sold me that disability... he's for RBC, my homie Rob.
Okay, RBC, I'm gonna cut you off. That's the only disability.
Exactly why he said that. Exactly why he said
that. So he knows what he's doing. Disability, RBC is the only company I'll look at.
That's what he said. So he said that to me, my homie Rob. Bro, he sold me on it from the moment he started talking about what if such and such happened. You like to go away. He's like, question for you. Do you sign up for Manulife when you do these away trips and you dip the insurance in case you get sick? Something happens to you over there. I said, yeah. He's like, oh, I'll cover it.
You sign up for that though?
I signed up for like the Manulife quick. It's like $30. I get covered in a week and I'm gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I just look at my credit card. It says it's covered and that's...
Oh, see,
that's,
yeah, you can do that too. But what I'm saying is like...
That's the only
thing. I get extra. It's $30. That's
But it's good to know there's other options, because I know like
again, myself, I believe you do it too. You do it too.
Just credit for traveling, is a credit card.
Yeah.
My credit card provides this, but to know that we have another layer or there's something that's out there that's better.
Credit card did me dirty, though.
I believe
we were in Colombia and around COVID time when they told you don't travel.
Yeah.
They kind of said, we told you don't travel.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So again, I did the Manulife travel insurance during that time as well because I traveled in 2021 going to Mexico. Same thing. Try to tell you this, that, and the third, but it's like, you know what? Yeah, we will cover this through Manulife. It's like, if you aren't able to get back on a flight or you have to stay a couple of days more or whatever the case is, we cover you for those layover days or whatever. So I was like,
it's 30 bucks. So it's like, am I going to, in the odd case, something bad does happen? Well, it was probably worth it. It was worth the 30 bucks.
30 bucks for that 7 days. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just.
Well, for that situation, that Manulife travel insurance. Yes,
yeah, travel insurance. You just select what days I'm gone for, and that's it.
It's so crazy how, like, we'll go to the casino or we'll spend money
again. Don't do that again.
Just $100 now, not even think about it.
That's what I'm about to say. Why your face get mad? Like you, like you were gonna use an example that pertains to you, bro.
As I'm trying to sneak this out of sight. I go to casino.
No, yeah, no, I'll go out for expensive dinners, massage, this, that, but like I won't drop 50 bucks a month on insurance really that I can afford.
That's the most important thing. It's like, yeah, you just hit it on the head. Like I'll go out and do all these things and not think about spending $200 on a dinner. Like, well, you could also protect yourself and your loved ones. Way less than that.
Drive home from that dinner, car crash, you don't make it. Now what?
And so I think there's a few things. Like, we don't like talking about death.
Of course not.
Or illness.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
People, or money.
No one talks about finances with their family. Most families I meet, they have no idea what's going on in their financial world. They don't talk about it.
Like with each other, like partners? Like,
yeah, a lot of partners do not talk about their finances together, and it blows my mind. Because it's like, what are you doing?
Because I think people think like, my money's my money, your money's your money, and
we'll come together when
we'll
we
come
need
together
to.
When we need to. Yeah. Yeah, you feel
this? You know those ones. Yeah. Need to make this happen for each other? All right, well, we got some change we can put away for this. But yeah, no, I agree. That's usually the case. Unfortunately, when things happen and nothing's signed off, your particulars aren't straight, your partner's looking at you in your deathbed like, yo, what did you leave me here? Like, how could this be the case? I thought we were blessed. We're not blessed. You know, and again, I'm not in life insurance. I promise you, I'm not in any of these things. But when these guys talk to me and they made me believers, and again, they come in with the same spiel. It's quick. They're gonna talk to you fast. But once you start breaking your own things down, you start asking them questions back. You're doing your own research. You start to ask things that, again, would matter to you, and what matters to me might not matter to you or to you. But you'll find something that will. And those are the things you now have to ask questions about. And ultimately, that led me to, you know, making the investment into my later life. Because I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but you never know, right? So you kind
of
set yourself.
That's a good point. A lot of people at our age, they don't think about insurance. I'm young, I'm not dying.
Yeah.
Right? Usually, people will start to consider it when a life event happens. Yeah, I got married, I bought a house, or have a kid. Those are reasons why people buy it. The other side to it is when you're young, it's never going to be cheaper than it is. Like, say, a term policy, not getting any younger. It's the cheapest. Today's the cheapest it's going to be. But if you have it, and say you have that term policy for 5 years, your five hits, you get cancer. If you didn't have that policy, because you can convert that to permanent insurance with no medicals. If you had no insurance, I get cancer. You're not getting that insurance ever. Now you're fucked. Sorry, yeah. Pardon my language. Can, but like your family or your future family, you might not have a partner yet, but like I was thinking, I want to get married. I want to have a kid one day. I don't need insurance per se right now, other than to cover my mortgage and give the house to my sister if I do die. But I'm thinking, I'm like, well, there's stuff that runs in my family, heart conditions. If I wait till I'm 40, but I've had a heart attack 2 years ago, well, the insurance company is going to say, well, we're not insuring
you. Risk.
But you have in your contract and in the agreement, you are allowed to convert any amount you want up to the maximum that you have on that term to permanent insurance, no medicals. That is a huge feature that I push on people and say, listen, I understand why you don't want to get it right now, but just think about that. You might want to have a family. You might want to have kids. And at that point, if I told you you couldn't get insurance, would you kick yourself for saying I don't want to spend 30 bucks a month right now? Yes, probably so.
Yeah.
You honestly just stole my question without me even asking it. Like, what would you tell somebody like, hey, this is why you should get insurance and You literally just answered it all right there.
Can I give you another reason?
Can you?
Yeah, can I give you
another reason? You work for a company.
Yeah, yeah, I was asking for his card.
Can I give you another reason? I'll give you another reason. Let's take away even from cast a little bit. We're black, bro. We have a lot of things. We're black. We have a lot of things.
That's why we believe we don't need it.
Mm. I just, the family,
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Who in your family has life insurance?
And that's the thing. Because I don't know, but I'm not going to let it be me.
I get that, but you see what I'm saying? So it goes down. It's like generational wealth.
No, no, for sure. For sure. I understand.
Generational.
But that's also why I made another, like I did the research for myself. And this is not a thing that people will call research, but it is. Look around your friends. Look around your family. What takes us away? What decapitates us? Like what type of things that are going on in our lives that we see maybe on a day-to-day when we were younger that's like, yo, this guy doesn't make it to 30. This guy doesn't make it to 35. This guy doesn't make it to 40. This guy don't make it past 60. You know what I'm saying? The food we eat, just different things that help all these things come to shorter terms. Again, just seeing it within my own black family. It's just like, yo, bro, diabetes is real. All these different type of things. It's like, yo, you have no idea when something's going to hit. And then when it starts to hit, it's like, yo, I'm going to sign up for life insurance. And then they tell you no because you're at risk. So why would we take you on now? So it's like it's too late. And then it's like you're relying on other people from your family to come together and pay for fees and this, that, and the third. Why? You can set yourself up for things that you can afford to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I took it as an investment for myself, because I know I'd be up in heaven, God willing, looking down at my family take care of their child in the family, his funeral costs, his debt, his OSAP, this, that, and the third to pay back, because all that stuff still has to go. You know what I mean? That's somebody else has to pay that. So it's like, shit, I'm leaving that for the next person to pay. Or I'm leaving this. It's just things that can be taken care of by what you can afford, and it's all there for you. Like, all the answers are in your grasp. You just have to look for it.
And these are the generational changes we need to make. We have the information now. So now if we're not taking this information and not acting on it, to me, it's just complete ignorance at this point.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Because we know now. Yeah.
But that's why I appreciate this platform, you know what I mean? Like, giving people like you the opportunity, and you.
I'm team casting.
Send your company this video out. Tell me your work. I'm team casting.
Later. You can invoice me later.
Is he your mentor?
I'm team casting today. I'm not playing with y'all, bro. This is really like when Tashad first brought this episode topic up, it was like, yo, guy that we really know, and he's in life shares. Like, yo, more guys that we know, yeah, you're starting to get into this. What's going on with this? So then I start to do stuff like that, and I look at myself. I say, I have life insurance. I have disabilities. And you just have to ask around the room, who has it? Who has kids? I know many people my age that had kids. They go. Now what do their kids got?
GoFundMe. That's a big thing.
Okay, I was going to get on this because, yo, this is a joke amongst our community, like in our industry. It is such a joke. And it's bad to say, because if something does happen to you, you get cancer and you see a GoFundMe page, I feel terrible. Like, that shouldn't happen to a young person.
Yeah.
But in our industry, we're like, they're begging for everyone to send you money now, right? And out of the goodness of our hearts, people are sending money, okay? If you have critical illness insurance, you don't need a GoFundMe anymore, and you, God willing, hoping everyone sends you enough money to pay for that surgery. It's literally a joke that gets talked about like once a week in my group.
Like, how much you said it was? $30, right?
Yeah, I pay, my critical illness is like $40.
Come on, bro.
Yo, I'm signing. I'm gonna call you.
We go to where?
Because God forbid, if I didn't have it and something did happen, knock on wood. But if someone had to make a GoFundMe for myself and I'm in the industry, how embarrassing is that?
Yeah, how embarrassing.
This guy doesn't even have his own insurance.
How can we trust you?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody talk about summertime pop bottle, Casamigos, this, that. And yo, bro, get some life insurance. Get some kind of illness, bro. It's crazy, but bro. Anyway, I don't know.
You're pushing your company again? Or?
Nah, I'm not pushing nothing. I'm just letting you guys know it's important.
Calm with the insurance.
Can we talk about something not about insurance for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Can we talk about the biggest basketball trade in history? How are we feeling about that?
How did your mental feel about that?
Oh, my. I'm sick. I'm sick for Luka Doncic.
That's who you're sick for? But why him?
Because he's a franchise player. He's 25 years old.
Oh, he's still going to carry the franchise.
He's about to carry the Lakers. Yo, it's like having your wife just up and leave overnight.
No, I hear you. It's important.
He should have been there for his whole career.
What do you mean? Huh?
Well, I only say that because the Mavs should look at it like that. But did Luka look at it like that? Did he take basketball this year? I don't know.
Even today, there was a thing that came out. He said he texted Mark Cuban like, I'm so confused. And Mark Cuban said, me too.
Okay, but Mark Cuban's not the one.
He's not majority owner anymore.
Right. So there's that. And then two, it's like, well, Luka, you keep coming into the season on the shit.
But he's still cooking.
He's cooking. I agree with you. But everybody's cooking today.
Joker's coming in fat too.
And winning championships. Luka, you win me a championship yet?
You got them to the finals at 25.
He's one of the few players that have a 70-plus game.
The league sucks, in my opinion.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know, watch basketball. League's actually a horrible
thing. Just seeing that is like, man, like if he can get traded, be a franchise guy at that age. Yeah,
it's been a business.
Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe.
Right. Who's your max players and who's untouchable?
Yeah. Nobody.
Right? When you see the untouchables, you're like, are they really? Because if somebody offers you something, you might take it. Right?
I'm just happy that the balance of power in the league is balancing back out, because I feel like
players had too much
control.
Way too much.
Much decisions and we're all gonna go partner together. I'm gonna go play with my brethrens. Like
Jimmy Butler's acting right now. You know what I mean? Like I do agree with you. I like the shift, the power dynamic going back, because
it should be more like football.
He's making a mockery of it.
It should be like football. Like, I don't like this sitting out games. Like, man, you're getting paid $30 million plus a year.
What are you upset about?
What are you, my neat buddy? Yeah. There's guys working at McDonald's, standing on their feet all day, that can't feed their family. They're hurting too. They don't want to show up to work. I can promise you that.
True.
My biggest issue is when teams come to Toronto, because this is the city we live in, Steph Curry comes. Oh, tonight Steph's not coming. But someone's mom or dad spent $500. That was everything that they could afford to get their kid to go to this game to see their favorite player. Oh, I don't want to play tonight because I'm load management.
Mm-hmm. I got a story for you.
That's not fair.
When I went to watch Jonathan Kuminga play on Golden State, I was so
upset. Shout out Jonathan Kuminga, man.
No, he wasn't good back then.
He worked hard, bro.
He wasn't good back then.
No, Draymond, no Steph.
No Clay.
I'm not pulling up.
Jonathan Kuminga?
I'm not pulling up.
That's the only reason I know him now. That's all I heard on.
Went to the Raptors game and we saw DeMar? If DeMar wasn't playing, I'd tell you no. That's I'd late scratch you the game. I'm not coming to
you. No, I got a story for you guys. So I remember the Lakers were, I think it was it last year or the year before, when they played Cleveland, and then their last stop on the road trip was Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then they played in Cleveland. So I'm like, oh, they might play in Toronto. So when you go look at those tickets are not cheap. It was $2,000. My son was begging me to go. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for it. Some good seats. Like, this $2,000 is going to hurt me, but I'm going to do it.
Memories.
Bro, I looked up the ticket, good seats. I'm up. Right when I was about to push confirm, AD and LeBron out tonight, canceled so fast. I never thought my finger could move that fast. You know what I'm saying? And just imagine if I had paid that $2,000 now to go see the man I'm sitting on the bench.
Oh, you're sick.
Bro, I was sick trying to do it. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. And then when I saw that pop up on my screen, bro, I was like, thank God. That's all I said. Thank God. Daddy, are we going to the game now? We're going to watch from home. You want some popcorn? You know what I mean? But just imagine that. If you had spent that money to go sit there and watch the man I'm chilling on the bench making jokes, flipping bottles.
See, you did your research.
That's what's your company name? Company
name? I ain't got no company, bro. I'm just an advocate.
Give that a try, Cassie. You tell me.
Oh yeah, yeah. Try that B5 drink right there. What's that? What do you have right there?
This is the orange juice, cold pressed sunrise, orange pineapple and lime.
Yo, this B5 juice is hitting. What flavor is
good
here?
It's good.
Got a cucumber.
Cucumber, pineapple, apple, lemon, ginger. I didn't even know these all could go together, but this is delicious.
It's actually good.
I heard it's good for your skin. I'm not even joking.
See how you try to get me back? Is this because of the teeth joke?
No, here we go.
Yo, people are in the comments on your neck about that.
Yeah, yeah. But no,
yo, be nice.
Yo, hold on.
But I'm actually being serious. Before we go on, it's actually good for your skin. I'm not even joking.
Okay, good.
I'm being serious. Mm. I know you probably think I'm joking. I'm trying to get.
So you gave me this one?
No, you picked that one.
Yo, when I saw Sexy D in the comments, I thought she was coming for
oh,
you.
I thought,
that
yo.
Was the nicest answer that I saw.
I seen your mom pull up to the comments. And, oh my God.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. When I saw my mom in the comments, I'm like,
uh-oh.
You know how to use Instagram.
Oh my
God. My mom FaceTimed me the other day. I thought it was a mistake. I said, "Mommy, you there?" She's like, "Yeah, mommy, dad, me, I FaceTimed you." I was so shocked. I don't think my mom really knows how to work her phone. I think she does things by accident. Yeah, she just goes with it. Yeah. You know, because one time it'll be a FaceTime. Next time it's WhatsApp. I'm like, yo, make up your mind.
I have no idea what's going on.
You know what I'm saying? So she sent me an e-transfer. That one shocked me.
Someone set her up. Someone set her up and she hits in, bro. That's it.
She, my mom shocks me. I'm not even.
Terrell, why is your name Jimmy on the show?
My ass now.
Tashan, holla at me. What game? What game we got going on right here?
We got our game. Let's talk about it, baby. Where we talk about things that men usually don't talk about. We don't talk as men sometimes. You alluded to that today during the podcast.
It's important stuff.
Were you always a talker?
No, I used to be super angry. I used to fight, and I realized you can't fight when you're an adult.
What changed?
I could go to jail. No, honestly, I had a switch. I don't know, when I lost my parents, it was just like eye-opening. Like I today I have to be an adult, and every day from here on out I have to make good decisions.
Yeah.
And not talking about that stuff ate me up. Like the first like 3 months I probably didn't say a word. Killed me.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to resort to doing stupid things or drinking. I was never really like that, but I didn't want to go down that path. So I just started talking to my friends, like, how you feeling? And I would just like vent to them. They're like, yo, you're good at talking about this. Then it makes me feel better. Yeah. So like the first podcast I ever did, like I spoke about it deeply. And the guy on the other end of the mic was like, he's like crying. He's like, what the fuck's going on?
For real, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Almost had me tearing up. Like, guys, don't do this. It's too early. It's too early in the pod.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an important thing to talk about. So let's play this game.
Yeah, all right, so
I want to play the game now. Play the damn game.
Shades of black.
Okay, yeah. So white is the more surface level. Blue cards are like middle, and then black is like, let's get deep.
If you don't like the question, you can put it back and grab something else.
Yeah, so we'll let you choose.
I'm going first.
You can, yeah,
just you
can,
bro.
Just you.
Just you. You could ask the room. Obviously, hopefully you answer as well, though.
Yeah. We're gonna go. How many do I get to do?
One,
depending on what we have time for.
Take this back.
All right.
Please, God.
I gotta think of what is the biggest question you learned the hard way.
Thank God.
What are you thinking about?
No, the reason why is because we always get these cards.
All right. The biggest question you learned the hard way. You gotta think about these.
Yeah. For me, actually keeping it on brand. When my grandparents passed, respectively, and friends, even recently, it's just seeing them at the young age that they do pass is like, how much time do we really have? I think that was something I learned the hard way. And something that's actually really simplistic. It happens all every day. Somebody's dying, unfortunately, but one of those things is like, you just kind of never know. So it's like, cherish all those moments and all this. And I think that question for me was the biggest and eye-opening thing, is like, how much time do we really got?
Biggest question you learned the hard way.
It's kind of like a hard lesson type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty on brand for the episode.
Yeah,
I've had a lot of hard
lessons. I think I can answer a few. Like, there's a few that come to my mind. I'm gonna relate this one back to basketball, to be honest. Growing up, like, playing basketball from day one, going to university playing, becoming a professional athlete, and one day it stops. And you're just like, well, that was my whole life. Everything I ever did was basketball. And the question to myself, I looked in the mirror, I'm like, what the hell? Who am I now? Because everyone in the world, you guys all know me through basketball. Everyone I've ever connected with, oh, you're the guy who played basketball. He's a good basketball player, this, that, and that. Always related back to basketball. I'm like, man. That's not me. Like, it's a piece of me, but like, we're all spherical people. Like, to one person, I'm a best friend. To one person, you hate me.
Yeah.
To one person, you love me for this, and I'm not just basketball. I love to snowboard. No one knows that. Mm. There's a lot of things about us as a group. Like, we're known for one thing. You won Big Brother. Cool. There's other things about you that I don't even know, but that makes you as a whole person. So for me, like after basketball, finding who I am and what I'm passionate about outside of sports became like my number one mission. People would be like, you're the basketball guy. I'm like, I don't want to talk about ball anymore. I love it.
Crazy. I went through the same thing.
It's hard.
I did the same thing.
There's a lot of guys who can't even get over that hump because they don't have that next outlet. For me, it took me like 3 years. I didn't touch a basketball for like two. First time I played ball was with this guy in that tournament.
Really?
I hated basketball when I was done because I didn't go out on my own terms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like lose my mom and I had to make a decision. I got to start making real money today.
Yeah.
But I could still hoop. I could go back overseas, but like I got responsibilities here now. So I didn't go out on my own terms saying, okay, I'm done. I want to retire. So I left thinking like, damn, I could still hoop. But who am I now? So that was like probably the hardest question. I don't know if it was a hard way to learn it, but it took me a long time to figure out who I was again.
That's a hard way to learn that, though. Not going out on your own terms.
Yeah.
That's tough, so.
Oh, that's my answer.
That's a really good one, too. I don't think I could top that, to be honest.
It's not about that, but it's your own journey.
That was just my excuse to not go.
Oh, yeah, no, I got you. Don't worry. I'll pick it up.
No, that's chocolate go for it.
Okay. You want the other question?
Yeah, I'll take the other one.
You want to take the L? Go for the next one?
Yeah. Hope it's deeper than that, pause.
It is.
He got his answer out the way. He's good.
What was the last thing you cried about?
Oh, I can answer that. I think. Honestly, yo. The other day, like, we have like a little tradition in my house where we have like movie night with mom, with my older son, where he like picks a movie, just sit down and just watch it with him, whatever. The other night it was just me and him, and just like seeing the way he maneuvers and how grown he is, just like literally brought tears to my eye because I'm like, wow, this guy's growing up before my eyes. He's a very loving, mature, well-spoken kid, and I'm just like, just seeing him as he is today. I'm like, wow, I'm just blown away.
Does it happen often?
That I get like teary-eyed?
You know, it's teary-eyed, just like high emotion. Or
oh, I'm proud of him every single day. But I think sometimes it's like these isolated situations where you're just sitting there and it's like, holy, this is like so mind-blowing. Like this, I created this person.
Yeah.
Like this is like me. And just seeing him doing the things that he's doing, like, you know, you see them from when they can barely even say, they can't say a word. They're just moving and they need you. And like, I feel like he's young, but I feel like he doesn't need me. Yeah, so it's just like one of those things. I just look at him and like, this was last Friday.
Yeah.
Had me teary eyed, fam. He's watching the movie. He said, daddy, you watch? I'm like, yeah, bro. Don't look over here.
That's how you know you're growing up though.
For real, man. Yeah.
How about you two over there?
Yeah, what are you guys saying, fam?
You guys are quiet.
No. I have one. Yeah. Oh, you guys are... Oh, okay.
When I cry?
It's over there, church most, man. Quiet, dad.
I want to say, like, the last good cry I had was after talking to my grandma, the one that has dementia. It's just like, you know, she would forget things and repeat herself and... It was a mix of a lot of things. Like it was a mix of like partially frustration, because like imagine having a conversation with your grandma who, you know, used to have really good conversations, and now but she's asking me the same questions over and over again. So you're just like, oh, man, how do I have to keep answering the same question? How come she's not hearing me? So partially frustration, and then partially like sadness, because you're like, oh my gosh, she's not like she used to be.
This person's been there your whole life.
Like you see, like when you have people in your life, it's just, you have an image of them. And when that image changes.
Rocks you for sure.
Like it messes with your head. So that was hard. And then you start thinking about the future. Like, oh my gosh, it's going to get worse. What if she forgets me? What if she, and like there's a thing about that disease too, where like you get obsessed with somebody. It's a lot of times in a negative way. So she has this obsession. She used to have this obsession with the guy that lives in the basement. She's like, he's playing tricks on me. I don't like him. We got to get him out of here. And I'm like, what if she turned on me? Like, my mind started going that way. And it was just like, I just got really sad about it. Like, this disease is messed up. Mm-hmm. Right? They start forgetting. And the frustration, the sadness, it was just a lot. And it just made me super, super emotional. Because like she's one of those people that's been there for me when nobody else has been. When everybody turned their back on me and my family, like, my grandma was there. So it's like to see her like this, it's just, there's moments where I'm like, obviously she's still her. We have great moments, but there's times where I'm just like, I start thinking of the future and I'm just like, damn, it'll never be the same.
Even to piggyback off of that, when you called me when you were with her, that I actually shed a tear after too. I don't think I told you. Like, just talking to her and, like you said, repeating, like, asking me the same questions. How's your mommy? How's the kids? And she asked me that multiple times. And I just remember growing up when we used to go there all the time and she used to take care of us. She used to do everything for us, lend us her car, wake us up at 3 a.m. to have conversations. And those are my memories. And then just seeing, I guess, not how, like, yeah, seeing how she was in that moment, asking me the same questions, it just really, like, it did bother me. So, I mean, I know how you feel. Because it's probably 10 times more. She's a grandma to me, but that's your actual grandma. So I know exactly how you feel. Brought tears to my eyes, too.
I appreciate you, bro. And it's like, man, like, I look at a lot of you guys and see how strong you guys are because, like, I've never lost any family.
Hey, dog.
Not any close family. I don't even know what I would do. I don't even know what I would do.
Well, just know you have us. And we're not thinking about that. We're enjoying the moment. And, yeah, we're here.
Be strong all the time.
Yeah, bro.
The moment of truth.
Yo, don't give the first one or the second
one. Man, I'm going to open up, bro.
Don't give me none of those stories where I had this one guy and then this guy.
Yeah, two guys.
We're not of those.
Nah, so last week Friday was my son's birthday.
Yes.
And since you guys want me to go there, we're going to go there, right?
Are you answering the first one or the second one?
You'll know. And my wife, she made this video of our son from birth to now. And when she first showed me the video, I was like, yeah, whatever. But then I went on Instagram and I clicked her page and I saw the video. And she doesn't know, but I saw it and I started to cry. Because you're like, holy shit, my son's getting big. You know, and just seeing him from a baby, my first son, to like now, to be honest.
It's all good.
You know,
let it out, brother.
I love that kid. You know, I have a daughter too, but like, I love my son, mm-hmm. right? And the way he looks up to me is like, I'm hearing Cassidy talk. I don't want him to lose me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, with my father's there, but he's not really there. Right? So I always try to be there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to see him grow and the way he looks up to me, yo, nothing. I promise you guys, when you guys have kids, nothing could take that away from you guys. Just knowing that he looks up to you. So when you hear some of people talk about their kids, and I always say, how can you talk about your kid like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I never, like, my mom loves me to death. People love me to death. But the love that he gives me, even when I'm wrong,
irreplaceable.
Bro, nothing could take that away. Right? And now I'm mad because she saw me cry, and you think I did, bro?
Hey, look. I appreciate you sharing that, though, honestly.
Yeah, bro.
Honestly.
100%.
I mean, that's important for people even to know, to connect with, relatable out there. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way about their child. You know what I mean? That bond that you have with your son, irreplaceable. You see what I'm saying? So I appreciate you again for sharing that. And that's a great way to end off the show, you know?
I should have grabbed the white cards.
Man, Jesus.
Man,
it's a real thing, man. Them kids, you guys don't even understand, bro.
On that, well, for sure. I need that. That love that you guys speak about.
Yeah, bro, it's different.
Well, we got the insurance down already. You're going to be on my next commission check.
Come on,
Cass, we appreciate you, man.
Nah, me time, bro. Cass, you have anything that you would like to promote? Anything that, any socials, anything that anybody can reach you at?
I just use LinkedIn now, man. I got that in a Facebook. Oh,
you're old, bro.
No, I got off. I got
you
off.
You still use Facebook?
No, he's a LinkedIn influencer.
Okay, I got off Instagram like almost a year ago now. It was just, I haven't been on in like almost a year. Way better. You want to know why I got off it? Because I sit on my couch Sunday, bro, kick up like this with a beer.
Yeah.
My phone notified me, yo, you've been on your phone on Instagram for 8 hours today. I said, God damn.
What time is it?
It was late. It was like 2 in the morning. Should be in bed.
Yeah. Nothing's happening.
So I'm like, I'm done with this. I just got my production the next year or the next month. Well, I made more money the next month. I was like, why do I need this? I used to seek validation from everybody and everyone wants to say, I don't do that. Everyone's seeking some type of validation. I get some people use it for business. 100% understand. Negative validation from everybody. It causes relationship problems as much as people don't want to say it does. It's literally a dating app that's disguised as some type of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it made my business better, made my like personal life better. And yeah, I'm just on LinkedIn, bro. I'm LinkedIn influencer now.
How can they find you on LinkedIn? You know what I mean? Come on.
It's Cassidy Ryan. That's it, man. Come on there. You'll see the red beard on there.
Do you have any... thing that you want to talk about?
Sure, I'm gonna get into it now. Wait a minute, yeah, the way you guys make it sound like I sound. But again, from us to you guys, again, please do look into life insurance. And you know, catch you guys again next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Please tune in. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe
down below.
You know what I'm saying, talk about it. We'll see you again, bro. Be safe.
See you guys.